you guys. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, be looking at verses 7 through 18. Colossians 4, 7 through 18. A few other things I thought Preston was going to mention while he was up here, along with no Coke machine, no TVs. We don't have those that shelving stuff in the back anymore. He was really proud of that, getting that done. I'm just glad we got that Volvo out of there and we got that Mustang out of there. Colossians chapter 4, picking it up at verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers of Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your ministry and your presence to us already this morning. And we pray that as we come before your word, that you would speak fresh to us. Help us to hear you. Give us ears to hear you, hearts to receive you. May we find ourselves being transformed through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've come to a conclusion about the Christian life, and I think I want to put it on a bumper sticker. And it would be something along the lines of this: the Christian life, don't try it alone. And that would be the bumper sticker. The Christian life, don't try it alone. Now, all these greetings here. Greet this person, greet that person, here's a word on this person, a word on that person. I'm writing this so that you know our circumstances, you know how we're doing. Thank God for this guy. Greet everybody that meets in her house, all that kind of thing. I think one of the things that we need to just get from that is that the Christian life is a life of fellowship. It's not a life of being a solitary. It's not just a private personal experience. It involves personal experience, yes. It is very personal. But it's not the kind of thing that isolates you. And it's not the kind of thing that you try to do, that you try to live in isolation. And sometimes we get the picture of Paul as if here we have this kind of missionary hero. This guy that goes where nobody else will go. This guy that suffers all by himself. This guy that is in virtual isolation, and he almost becomes a hero for his aloneness. Well, that's not Paul. That's far from the truth, and that's far from the gospel. The gospel is a message that invites us in out of aloneness, out of loneliness, and into fellowship and into family. And so here we see Paul in prison, and yet he's not alone, and he doesn't understand the Christian life to be this alone kind of life. It's not this kind of heroic, lonely existence. It's about fellowship. And so greet so-and-so and say hello to so-and-so, and I'm writing so that you know how I'm doing. The Christian life is not a life to be lived alone. It's a life to be lived together. It's a life to be lived in fellowship. Now, for sure, that sometimes you're going to have to take stances in various places where it may leave you feeling kind of alone. That you may have to resist going the way of the crowd. But even in resisting going the way of the crowd, it's not like you are alone. You have people who are praying for you. And there are others that you should be praying for. And you have a family that you belong to. So you may be at work, you may be in the neighborhood, you may be in some type of situation where you're called to kind of take a stand and stand up against crowds, stand up against the way that people are going. But even in that, it is not a lonely existence. And if you've become lonely in it, it's because you've really missed out on what it's about. That it's about belonging to the family, belonging to the children of God, and Christ is at the center of our fellowship. So don't fall prey. Don't be deceived into thinking that you have to be some type of hero and live the Christian life in isolation. Don't get walled out like that. Take a lesson from Paul here. Greet so-and-so. Tell so-and-so hello. Pass this letter on to others. Christian life, don't try it alone. Now, I especially want to call this to our attention today because we have so many people that are transitioning into new places. You know, the obvious is Preston and Michelle and Corbin, and we'll just call them Baby B, Baby Benson, all going to Hawaii. But we also have Andrew going to boot camp. And we have a number of people that are going places. Bridget talked about going to a new school, kind of going back home. And we have so many people in transition, and when you go into transition, one of the things that you have to really be intentional about is connecting with the family. That you have to be intentional about connecting with the family of believers. So find a church. Find believers that you can share fellowship with. Whether that be at boot camp, whether that be in the islands, whether that be in Washington, wherever you might be kind of transitioning to. Don't get fooled into thinking that you're in this new place all alone. You got family around you, you just haven't met them yet. And you need to be intentional about creating that, about seeking out family in Christ and about developing those relationships. And about placing yourself in a fellowship of discipleship. Cultivate discipleship relationships. Wherever you're transitioning to. Now, some of you aren't going anywhere. I can relate to you guys. But some of us aren't going anywhere. But even in not going anywhere, it seems like everybody else is going somewhere. And sometimes when everybody else is going somewhere and you're not going anywhere, then all of a sudden you can start to feel so very alone and so very isolated, like I've just lost my family. And so even if you're not going anywhere, the word is still a word for you, a word for me, to continue to cultivate discipleship relationships. Continue to cultivate a discipleship fellowship. And see, one of the things that can happen is that we can connect with people and we can find all different kinds of fellowships out there. But the fellowship that gives us life, the fellowship that gives us joy, is the fellowship that we have together in Christ Jesus. And we need to be growing in Christ Jesus. And so that's why I say, wherever you go, whether you're going or whether you're staying, don't try to live the Christian life alone. You need to place yourself, you need to be intentional about cultivating discipleship fellowship, discipleship relationships. To where you're intentionally praying for each other, nurturing each other, listening to each other, building each other up in Christ Jesus. Christian life, don't try it alone. Now, there's one verse in here that I really want to focus on. Maybe a verse and a half. Jump all the way down to verse 17. Paul singles this guy out, have no idea who he actually is. But verse 17, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. See to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. Now, I don't really know who this guy is, and at this point, I don't care. But I care about what Paul says to him. See to it that you complete the work that you received in the Lord, and he singles somebody out. Somebody in particular has received a work from the Lord, in the Lord. See to it that you complete it. Part of that means completing a task. It kind of has that task sound to it. So the Lord has given you a job to do, get it done. Don't just leave it hanging. And so see to it that you complete the task, see to it that you follow through, see to it that you take responsibility for what you have received in the Lord to do. Don't let it lag, don't let it just hang there, but complete the task, whatever it might have been. But I'm not content with just leaving it that way. I think that's too quick of a reading. I think that's too shallow of a reading. If we work with these words a little bit more, one of the things that comes out to us is that this idea of complete is fulfill. Fulfill what you have received in the Lord. And with that, I hope you sense the difference between getting a task done and fulfilling something. Because there are times where you can get the task done and you can check off, you know, your little list of things to do, and oh, I got them done, but you really haven't fulfilled what you were given to do. Okay, I get it all the time with students. They have a list of assignments to do, and they complete the assignments and they go through it, but they really haven't fulfilled being a student. Because they haven't learned anything. They haven't thought about anything. They haven't engaged in the material. They've just taken it as a checklist of things to do. Got to get that done, got to get that done, got to get that done. They can sign off that they did it, but they never engaged. They never thought. They never wrestled. They never took what I was trying to communicate to them and wrestled with it in their heart to where it becomes part of them. So when I think about this idea, you know, complete the task, don't think of it simply in terms of a checklist. You got to begin to think of it in terms of fulfilling what you've been given to do. Now, push it a little bit further here. Complete the work. And I kind of took the sound of that word work, and where my mind goes, when I think about work, I think about jobs. When I think about jobs, I think about tasks. But that's really not a very good way to track that. Because when you go back and you start reading it in Greek, you go back and you start looking at other translations of it, it's not so much work, it's complete the service. Complete the ministry which you've received in the Lord. So it's not so much, you know, I got this job to do, I got to get it done, put a check by it, I can breathe easy. It's more along the lines of, I have this service. I have this ministry. I have this role to play. And I need to fulfill it. That ministry, that role has been given to me by the Lord. And I can't reduce that down to a checklist. Okay, I'm looking at Cody over here. Pre-med, going to be a doctor. How many of you have been to the doctor and the doctor ran a bunch of tests on you at some point, and the doctor's able to kind of check off everything that the doctor did his job, and yet you never felt like you saw the doctor? Have you been there? To where the doctor checked off a list of things to do, but the doctor never fulfilled the role of being a doctor and actually finding out how you're doing and caring for you. And see, I think so often in the work of the church, so often in the work of ministry, we come at it with kind of a task mindset that I got to get this done, I got to get this done, I got to get this done, and we check all these things off, but we never really fulfill the role of a servant. We never really fulfill the role of ministry. We don't fulfill it. If somehow we have to recognize that the work that we have in Christ is much greater than a checklist. And yes, there are specific things to do within it. But it's you can't reduce it down to a checklist. Now, notice some of the language here as well. See to it that you fulfill, that you complete, that you fulfill the ministry which you received in the Lord. You received it in the Lord. What difference does that make? That is something that you received in the Lord. I think it makes a world of difference about the character that you exercise in receiving it. Okay, if I receive something in the Lord, if I receive a service or a role, if I receive that in the Lord, then that says something about how I go about carrying out that service. That means that my behavior, that means that my attitude needs to conform to that of Christ Jesus, our Lord. If I received it in the Lord, then that says something about how I ought to do the job, how I ought to fulfill the role. And so I can't, you know, I can't go, how should I say it? If I've received the role in the Lord, the ministry in the Lord of visitation and of visiting people in the hospital, then I go visit them. Well, I just can't put a check, oh, I visited so-and-so in the hospital today. I need to go there in the Spirit of the Lord and minister to them in the Spirit of the Lord and show them the compassion and grace of the Lord. I can't just simply go there, take a look at my watch, yeah, 2 minutes is long enough, say a quick prayer, and I'm out of there. Check it off, did my ministerial task. No. If I've received it in the Lord, I need to go in the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that means when I'm there, I need to be genuinely concerned about the person that I'm visiting instead of just thinking about how long do I have to stay here before I can go. I need to take interest. And so whatever ministry you've received in the Lord, think about the character that you display or operate out of as you do that ministry, as you fulfill that role. If I've received it in the Lord, it says something about the authority that I have when I exercise that ministry. And so I am there as one under the authority of Christ, operating out of the authority of Christ. And so when I go to make a hospital visit, I'm there under the authority of Christ. Simply not there by myself, but I'm there to discharge, if you will, the ministry of Christ. It also gives me power to operate. And so when I am under the authority of Christ, I answer to Christ, but that gives me a sense of power and authority in ministry. And so that I can speak the truth in love. So that I can, and depending upon what needs to be done and how to go about it, but there is the authority in Christ Jesus to exercise that role. Christ doesn't simply give us jobs to do without giving us authority to do the jobs. He doesn't simply give us a role to play and leave us there to do it out of our own strength. The ministries that we receive in the Lord, He bestows upon us the authority to do it as well. One other thing with this. The ministry that you have received in the Lord. Typically, that comes through the church. Typically, that comes through the church seeing some gifts and graces in you and saying, I think you can help us out here. Here's something that needs to be taking place in the body or through the body, through the church, and we see these gifts and graces in you, and we feel like God has you here for such a time as this. And you receive a ministry, you receive a role, you receive some work to do in the Lord. I hope that you recognize in that the word trust. That the church is trusting you to carry out that role. When Paul tells Archippus, see to it that you complete, see to it that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord, well, part of that receiving is the idea that people are counting on you. You have people's trust. Don't break that trust. And I don't know whether Archippus was supposed to be leading a Saturday night preaching service. And he's telling Archippus, hey, people are trusting in you to be ready to lead that service. Fulfill that role, fulfill that ministry that has been given to you. Maybe Archippus was teaching children's Sunday school. And so he's saying, Archippus, see to it that you fulfill the role, the mission, the ministry that has been given to you. Be good to go. They're trusting you. They're counting on you. Yeah, and you can place yourself in there. Whatever ministry you have received in the Lord, and it may be a ministry here within us, it may be some type of outreach ministry. But see to it that you're good to go with it. That you're fulfilling it. Because there are people counting on you. People are trusting you. You have the trust of the church. You have the trust of the people. Don't do anything that would break that trust. Trust is so fragile. Paul closes his letter out with this line about his chains. He writes it in his own hand, and here's what he writes. Remember my chains, grace to you. Now, he's speaking to the whole congregation, but I can't help but think about it in terms of what he just said to Archippus and now what he says. So make sure, tell Archippus, get word to him to fulfill the ministry that he has received in the Lord. Remember my chains. And what I hear in that is, kind of remind Archippus about my chains. Because what if Archippus starts to think that, wow, this ministry thing, it's a little bit more costly than I thought it was going to be. I mean, I thought doing children's ministry was just going to be fun and games, and you mean I got to care for them? And I got to prepare? And I got to deal with their parents sometimes? I mean, maybe Archippus thought this was going to be great. You know, working in the kitchen on Friday nights and serving dinner. And then to realize that maybe not everybody's grateful, and maybe you can't please everybody all the time, and maybe the help that you thought you were going to have that any one particular night, that didn't show up. And you're kind of getting tired of being in the kitchen every Friday night. Remember my chains. I mean, one of the things I hear in that is just kind of very subtle word to Archippus that when you fulfill the ministry that the Lord has called you to, that the Lord has given to you, that at some level there's going to be some cost. And maybe even more cost than what you initially expected. Remember my chains. And it's not that the chains get the last word. The last word is grace to you. And Paul knew grace in the midst of his chains. And so as Paul fulfilled the ministry that had been given to him, it cost him. It cost him freedom. He was in chains, but he knew the grace of God in the midst of his chains, and that grace is the last word, that power to fulfill even in the midst of costliness. And we need to hear that. That whatever you have received in the Lord to do, whatever the role is, and whatever things need to be checked off in order to actually do that role, it's going to be costly at some level. Costly in ways that maybe you can't see right now. Costly in ways that you would not normally expect to be costly. But grace to you. God will be with you. God will give you power. God will enable you through the very presence of God, through the very Spirit of God, to fulfill what God has given you to do. I'm not a general superintendent, so I won't get to preach Preston's ordination service. And I'm not even sure if I'll actually be able to be there, because that's the same night as senior award nights and Rebecca's graduating this year. But if I were there, and if I was allowed to preach, this is what I'd be telling Preston and Michelle. To fulfill the role, to fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. And it will be costly, but grace to you. God will be with you. God will empower you. God will enable you to do all that God has called you to do. Not by your own strength, but by the strength, the presence, the enabling power of God. Andrew, same deal. You're going into boot camp? I hear Jeff's praying about maybe seeing you on the other side. I mean, boot camp sounds kind of sick, scary when we start praying like that. But same words. Complete the role, the ministry, the service that you have received in the Lord. Fulfill it. And there'll be a cost. But grace to you. God's grace be with you. God be with you to empower you and enable you to deal with everything that is laid upon you. And his grace is sufficient. And for all of us, whatever the ministerial role, the service might be, whether it's working with children, whether it's being in the kitchen, whether it's on Friday nights, whether it's a midweek group or whatever, a worship team, a worship band, whatever it might be, fulfill what you have received in the Lord to do. Keep fulfilling it. Stay on that journey. And there will be cost, but grace to you. And I see Zach and Leah here, and their move is at the end of the month. Same words. You know, it is a fellowship life. You get moved, don't try it alone. Intentionally seek out that fellowship. Cultivate that discipleship fellowship. And then the things that the Lord has given you to do, the things that you receive to do, it'll be costly, but grace to you. His strength, his presence, his power is sufficient. That's the word for us today. Put your own name in there. See to it that you complete, that you fulfill the ministry, the service, the work that you have received in the Lord. Remember Paul's chains, it'll be costly. But chains are never the last word. Grace be with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace to us, gracing us into this fellowship with one another through your Son, gracing us with transformation in our lives, once enemies of you, once slaves to sin, now set free and reconciled, graced into a new humanity, graced with a new wardrobe of compassion and kindness to put on. We thank you for the grace that you have bestowed upon us in fitting us for service, whether that be service towards one another within the body and all the various ministries that go on here, whether that be service in terms of outreach, making known to those on the outside the hope, the life, the joy that we have in you. It's amazing to us that you would give us such things to do. And we recognize that it will be costly. Much of the cost we don't recognize. Sometimes they hit us head on. Other times we don't see them. Sometimes we get blindsided by the cost. But help us to remember, Paul. Help us to remember that the chains are never the last word. Grace. Grace be with you. Thank you for coming to meet us today. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our worship bands have put together a special song that they would like to sing, and so I'm going to invite them to come, and then after they sing, then we'll go ahead and take communion together.
President Michelle, we do want to dedicate this song to you, and and to Andrew as you're leaving too. I know that you're going into new places and new points of your life where you will be encountering lots of different things. The name of the song is called Thou, O Lord, and it talks about how in our lives there are many times things that will come up that will maybe serve to counteract our Christian walk with the Lord and maybe seem to be defeating, but that Thou, O Lord, art a strength and a shield to us. And we just pray the Lord's covering his presence over you as you go. And the song is dedicated to all of you.
Shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept and awake, for the Lord sustained.
Thank you.
Oh.